to finding the Clyde One Super Scoreboard. £5,000 Fan.
Welcome to Super Scoreboard's £5,000 Fan. We're here for the summer to bring you all the very latest sports news, the chance to win £5,000, and you can give us a call on 01419511025.
It's the final week of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard. £5,000 Fan.
A very good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard's £5,000 Fan. I'm Alison Conroy and joining me tonight in the studio is Derek Johnson. Derek, we're into finals week.
Oh, can't wait. Quarter finals. Well
done. Two quarter finals tonight on Friday night. I will be giving someone that £5,000.
Not you personally.
Well, not out my bank account, no.
Because you've got plenty anyway. You wouldn't miss it, to be fair.
Neither I would. Plenty happening today. Rangers Managing Director Stuart Robertson has been elected to the SPFL board. Marseille, the latest club thought to be interested in Celtic striker Moussa Dembélé. And Neil Lennon urges Anthony Stokes to join Hibs and re-find his form. You can give us a call on 0141 951 1025. So let's start at Rangers, where Managing Director Stuart Robertson has been elected to the SPFL board. Robertson was voted as one of the three top flight representatives, along with Hamilton Chairman Les Gray and Anne Budge of Hearts, who retains her place on the board. Morton Chief Executive Warren Hawke and Martin Ritchie of Falkirk are the championship delegates, while Stranraer Chairman Ian Dugan will represent the bottom two divisions. Derek, Stuart Robertson on that board now.
Yeah, I think not before time. I think Rangers need somebody on that board. You know, you've got the two massive clubs, you know, supported clubs in Scotland. You know, the two of them have to be on any sort of board. I think Stuart Robertson's a very shrewd man. He did a superb job at Motherwell when they were going through a hard time. And since he's joined Rangers, he's been first class as well. So absolutely delighted for him.
He's been there before. He was involved when he was at Motherwell, so he knows what goes on.
Yeah, of course he does. You know, and it's always we need people on there that they've got ideas. You know, you can throw about ideas to people, and if things are not working, then change it very quickly. He's one of these men that won't be frightened to say his piece in front of other people. So yeah, I think it's a welcome man going on that board.
Yeah, Hibs Chief Executive Leanne Dempster stood down after representing the championship clubs last season, while Celtic Chief Exec Peter Lawwell and Partick Thistle Managing Director Ian Maxwell didn't stand for re-election. Instead, they've joined the professional game board of the SFA. So quite a few changes for the season ahead.
Well, there is, and I don't mind that. You know, the two boards, I don't get it. You know, the SPFL and the SFA, two different boards. I don't know why. Obviously, they look at different things. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's for the better of Scottish football. That's what I would like to think these two boards are all about. So the more people we've got on that, you know, bringing ideas forward, trying to change our game, trying to make it better, then obviously that's going to be good for Scottish football, because we need a lift. We're on a wee bit of a downer. You know, Celtic certainly are not on a downer, but everybody else is, you know, needs a lift. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there are going to be some new ideas brought into it, then, you know, we might get something in the next year or two that might change it.
Well, they were all meeting at Hampden today, and Hibs Chairman Rod Petrie said afterwards that Rangers' use of EBTs will be reviewed by the SPFL. It follows, of course, a Supreme Court ruling in favour of HMRC over the club's use of the tax scheme between 2001 and 2010. The SPFL's board, as I said, were meeting following the annual elections today. Derek, would you expect him to come out and say that?
Yeah, I think you have to. And what has happened? I think the SFA themselves have been in touch with their lawyers, you know, seeing what they can and cannot do. And I think the lawyers have told them there's not an awful lot you can do, you know, about that. So I would expect, you know, in the next couple of weeks or whatever, maybe even next week, for there to be a statement on that, you know, just telling us exactly where we stand.
Yeah, the understanding is there'll probably be a statement round about Wednesday.
This week?
Oh. Yeah, and it is unlikely that after
taking
legal advice,
we can't really
take...
say anything until we'll find out what happens on Wednesday. But you're right, if lawyers have said to them, you know, there's no chance of anything happening, then you've got to think that is going to be the way ahead.
Do you think it'll stop there for some fans though?
Oh, it won't, of course it won't, because it's Rangers, isn't it? The people, I mean, anything that Rangers do, there's always Aberdeen and Dundee United fans that start things, isn't it? The two of them all the time. But listen, that's Rangers are still up there in these clubs. You know, are still, they've got something against Rangers. I don't know what it is, because I'm not an Aberdeen fan or a Dundee United fan, but I'm sure the Rangers fans are saying exactly the same things. They cannot abide Aberdeen or Dundee United fans. So listen, that's what rivalry is all about in this game. Not only on the park, but off it as well.
Yeah, well, let's stay with Rangers. They were playing Marseille on Saturday in a friendly. It was a a 1-1 draw, Nico Cranchar, with the goal you were there, and a much improved performance from Rangers.
I have to say I enjoyed the game, Alison. There weren't that many goal scoring chances, but you know, I thought Rangers played really well. I said last week, you know, with all the midfielders and strikers that Rangers had bought, you know, I'm wondering how he's going to play Kishinya. Is he going to stick, you know, with the two holding midfielders, the three and the one up front? Well, he didn't. He stuck with his 4-4-2 he went for. And I think what a difference that made on Saturday. I think Kenny Miller was up front with Morelos. Morelos should have scored, but he's had a great shot, well saved by the goalkeeper. It came back to him. He side-footed it in the corner, but it's gone about 6 inches wide to the post. He should have scored then. It was only minutes later that Marseille equalised. But they look solid at the back. For me, I've always had a dig at James Tavernier. Going forward, useful player, but you've got to defend first. I thought he defended really well. He had two or three really, really good tackles on Saturday, something I haven't seen him do for a long, long time. And I think the two men just in for him were outstanding, Alves and Cardozo. Alves just looks sheer quality, you know, and he just dominated. He was talking to that back four all the time. The only one I was a wee bit disappointed with was Lee Wallace. He had a, I'm not saying he had an off day, but he never played as well as he can.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was just one of these games, but I thought the midfield were absolutely solid. I thought Jack Dorans and Cranchar were outstanding. You know, they all worked very hard for each other. And Candias, who played wide on the right, looks a player as well. So when I said last week, you know, of the new players that come in, there was nobody that really stood out for me. Well, there was a few came to the fore on Saturday. And I think the manager will be happy. Certainly the fans were happy the way the team played, because they're playing a side, I think, that are in the Champions League. They finished fourth in the French League, didn't they, last season? I'm sure they're in the qualifiers for the Champions League. So, and it was a great run out. I was looking forward to seeing Payet. You know, I watched him at West Ham. He was outstanding, but Tavernier had two or three great tackles on me. Didn't see an awful lot of them in the game, but very encouraging. That's what I would say. The Rangers fans that were there, I think, must have been happy. You know, the way the team's been playing in the early part of the build-up to this game, there's a huge difference. And it looks as if there is a bit of camaraderie now. And it wouldn't surprise me if that living that started on Saturday, if everybody's fit, might be the team that plays against Motherwell in that first game of the season.
How much was this performance needed, given what's happened over the summer, given the Europa League qualifier, given some of the friendlies they've played? The fans weren't full of confidence.
Well, everybody needed a lift. The players themselves needed a lift, because they knew they could play better than that. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, everything's hunky-dory now. I mean, there's a bit to go yet, but it's a lot better than they've watched in the previous games. And I think the fans needed something as well, because they were a bit jittery. The manager was getting a little bit stick from some of the fans as well. So the ones that turned up, just under 20,000 there, I think they went home happy, because it was a good game to watch. You know, it wasn't all this slow build up from the back. The ball was getting put forward very, very quickly, and it was a good game to watch.
Because there'll be pressure on Rangers, as there always is.
Of course there is.
Coming into the start of the season, they've got Motherwell in the opening weekend, then Hibs at Ibrox the weekend
then
after,
Hearts.
Which, you know, Hibs will be a marker, I suppose,
well,
in a way, because they've just come up.
And, you know, these games mean nothing. They've got a behind-closed-doors game against Watford, you know, on Wednesday night, then they play Sheffield Wednesday next Sunday. They don't make, no, results here don't mean a thing. It's how they're going to play. If they're going to stick with this 4-4-2, I think the manager will play the team that he wants against Motherwell for a long period in that game, maybe an hour, 65, 70 minutes, because there's no use bringing two or three players off when they're not getting 90 minutes. You know, you've got to be able to play for that 90 minutes. So I think he'll use these two games, you know, to find out what team is going to play against Motherwell. If they get results, fantastic. If they don't, it's that first game that matters. Remember, they'll be playing on the Sunday, so the Aberdeens and Celtics of this world will play on the Saturday. If they win, and obviously, and Rangers don't win, you know, it's all negative, I accept that. But you could be 3 points ahead right away. And of course, the following week, Celtic play on the Friday.
Yeah, so they're ahead again.
You know, they could be 6 points ahead if Rangers don't win. So that's how important the first game is. You're setting down a marker. You're absolutely right. And it's away from home. It's a hard game. Motherwell looked decent at the weekend. I watched part of their game, you know, scoring goals. Louis Moult back from injury. He's on form. You know, they're looking the part, and they'll give Rangers a game. So that's what he's got to focus on. That game, you know, a week on Sunday.
Because that's the thing, you can say, oh, it's only pre-season, but clubs are judged on pre-season fixtures. They always will be.
Players have got to get their touch, they've got to get their movement, they've got to get their shooting boots on, they've got to get their defensive head on, depending on which part of the ground team you're playing in. You know, you have to make sure you're sharp and you're 100% by the time that first game starts. They've got two big games now against Watford and Sheffield Wednesday to get that right, because they will be tested in these games. So that's what the manager's looking for.
This is the final week of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard 5 Grand Fan.
Well, it is the final week of Clyde One Super Scoreboard's 5 Grand Fan. It's time to do our first quarter final of the week. We've got Colin Wheeler in Dalgety Bay, and we've got Stephen McKenzie in Bayliston. Hello, guys.
Hi, Alison. Evening, Alison. Evening, Derek.
Hiya, lads. Good luck tonight, both of you.
How are you both feeling?
I'm fine.
All right. Well, I'll explain the format. It's a best of five questions. I'll ask you both a question each. Best of five, bit like a penalty shootout.
Well, that's
the way
like
we're going
that.
To do it. And
good.
Colin, you finished top of the leaderboard on 7, so you get to choose if you want to go first or second.
I'll go first, Alison.
You'll go first,
good
okay.
Man. Brave man.
Colin
well done.
Will go first. Stephen, you will go second. Are you ready, guys?
Yep.
Okay, Colin, the first question to you. Which Welsh footballer won the 2009 BBC Sports Personality of the Year?
Ryan Giggs.
Okay. Stephen, who was sacked as Scotland manager in 2009?
George Mullin.
Okay, 1-1. Colin, back to you. Which team won the Scottish Cup in 2015?
2015. Dundee United.
Stephen, question to you. Which team won the Scottish Cup in 2014?
Inverness.
Oh, still 1-1. It was Inverness that won it in 2015, and it was St Johnstone that won it in 2014. So on to the third questions to you both. Colin, which East Lothian course will hold the 2018 Scottish Open Golf?
Gowan.
Stephen, which East Lothian town has a race course?
Musselburgh.
2-2. You're both right with those ones. It is Gowan and Musselburgh. Fourth question, first to you, Colin. Clockwise, which number is next to 11 on a darts board?
4.
And Stephen, to you, anti-clockwise, which number is next to 2 on a darts board?
15.
Can't tell you, Stephen's now 2-1 up. Clockwise, the number next to 11 on a darts board is 14. And anti-clockwise, you're right, it is 15. So into the final question, Colin, first of all to you, in which year did Celtic sign Scott Brown from Hibs?
2007.
Stephen, in which year did Rangers sign Kenny Miller from Hibs?
2004.
Colin, you were right with 2007. Stephen, you were wrong. It was 2000. So we're tied after those five questions. So I'm going to go to a tie break for you both. It's a closest two. I'm going to give you the question, and then our producer will take you away and ask you for your answer, so neither of you can hear each other. So we'll take a wee break just shortly. But I'll give you the question first of all. Don't shout out your answers yet. Andy, our producer, will speak to you. So in the history of the Scottish rugby team, how many players have been capped? That's in the history of the Scottish rugby team. How many players have been capped? So Andy will get the answers from both of the guys. DJ, It's a close one.
That's
this
good,
one,
a good
isn't
start,
it?
Isn't it? A wee shootout in the first one.
You can sense the anticipation.
Difficult, but mind you, they got here because they're clever.
Well, exactly. Yeah. We had a 7 and a 6, so there wasn't many. There was only 8 that managed to get through to the the final week. So
it's a good tie-break question as well.
It is. Hopefully they're all as good as this. The guys are showing their knowledge tonight with some of these, some tricky ones as well, because the dates, it's just your luck, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, listen, sometimes you can get questions that suit you. You know the answer right away, and other ones on the tip of your tongue, but you can't remember another. You don't have a Scooby, it's a guess.
Yeah, how many do you think you would have got there?
I probably would have got two as well. You know?
Two?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, well, you got four each. Right, Andy is coming through with his bit of paper. Let's have a look. Oh, come on, guys. Colin went for 1,080. Stephen went for 1,080.
No.
So.
No. Get out of that one, Al.
So we're still tied, Colin and Stephen. Do you want another closest to question? You ready, guys? Okay, the same again. I will give you the question and Andy will ask you for your answers. What is the capacity of centre court at Wimbledon? What's the capacity of centre court at Wimbledon? So Andy will get both your answers from you. You couldn't make this up, could you?
Unbelievable.
And you know what? I can actually tell you that in the history of the Scottish rugby team, how many players have been capped? Now, they both went for 1,080. What do you think the answer is?
I would think about 2,000.
1,082.
Oh, my. Well done.
So the guys were both really close to this. So the capacity of centre court at Wimbledon is the one that we're looking at now to see if we can separate these two guys. Somebody's going to text giving them the answer, but they're too late because I'm getting the piece of paper brought through to me right now. Let's see if they got the same again. Colin went for 1,500.
Thousand.
15,000, sorry. Yes, you did go for 15,000. Stephen went for 14,979. The capacity is 14,979, so I can tell you, Stephen, you are the winner.
Thanks very much.
All right, hard lines, Colin. It was so close.
That's fine.
All right, well done, Stephen. You're through to the semi-finals, and I'll be speaking to you again later in the week.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Well done, guys. So we're going to be there all night with those two.
Yeah, very clever. Well done.
Very clever, showing their knowledge. So we'll have another quarter final on in not that long, and we'll have Chris Logan, who's an Aberdeen fan in Wishaw, and he'll be up against Lewis Donnelly, who's a Celtic fan from Port Glasgow. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard's Five Grand Fans. Susie will have the travel after these. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard's Five Grand Fan with Alison Conroy and Derek Johnson. It's a busy night in the roads, isn't it?
It is that. She was about 20 minutes here, Amber, wasn't she?
Must be because it's sunny, everyone's
Thanks
been out and about.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night.
Well, I want to go to Celtic now, and reports suggesting Moussa Dembele's wanted by Marseille. The talks already have been held between both sides. It's a fee of around £20 million that's been mentioned. Derek, your thoughts on this? Brendan Rodgers isn't going to want him to go before the Champions League playoffs they get past Rosenberg.
No chance, because remember, Lee Griffiths missed the first game, doesn't he, against Rosenberg.
Extended.
So Dembele's going to play in that game. And you're right, they'll need to see if they're going to get in the Champions League first, because, you know, if they let Dembele go now and Lee Griffiths gets injured, who then do they play up front? I know Sinclair played up there a couple of times last season,
but he's different in the Champions League.
So I think Brendan, if it is the case, and we don't know, we've heard for the last 6 months that he's been going to various clubs for 20, 25, 30 million. So I would like to think that Brendan Rodgers, in case this is the case that he is going, he's going to have to bring in somebody before that window shuts. That's for sure, a striker.
He's had a bit of a quiet start after the summer. Of course, he was injured before the Scottish Cup final, so he had that hamstring injury, and he's still probably trying to get back as well.
Well, that's the problem. You know, I don't think Marseille, if it is the case, I haven't seen much of him this season. Has he scored this season in any of the games? I can't remember. Maybe he scored once or whatever, but he's certainly not been, you know, in the goal scorer mood he was at the start of last season, that's for sure. But you're right, maybe his injury has done that. He's just getting himself back and getting himself sharp again. But certainly if they lose him, I even think at this moment they still need another striker. I think they've left themselves short. If somebody gets an injury and a suspension, as could happen, you know, they are going to be a bit short.
Because Griffiths still struggling with this this calf injury that he has. That's why he missed the last game last week.
But I just think he's on fire just now. Mm. I think he's scoring goals. He's really up for it. He knows fine well if he doesn't play well and he doesn't score goals, he's not going to start games. So he's there, and Dembele's got to really play well and start scoring again if he wants to play in front of him.
Remember, you can give us a call tonight, 01419511025. And Alex done just that. Hello, Alex.
Hi, how are you doing, Alison?
All right.
How are you doing, DJ?
Hi, Alex.
I obviously heard the reports regarding Marseille with Dembele at the weekend. They must be getting confused because it's 20 million on maybe getting Griffiths. There's no way that Dembele will be gone until after Celtic's Champions League qualifying campaign is there. And even if that, if he does go, it will be more than the 20 million reported, because, you know, I think that Celtic, in their current position, Celtic will turn away 20 million under Brendan's instruction, even though we're still a selling club. But it's going to need to be something special to take Dembele to go. And that's going to be, 30 million. And people can mock that if they want, but mediocre players down in England are going for 40 and 50 million and commanding wages in excess of six-figure sums. So it's farcical. So, you know, I don't think Musa is in any rush to go himself.
But I think the difference, you're right in what you say. I think some of the money, you know, going down south, I'm looking at the goalkeeper pick for the Sunderland. You know, he's played 20-odd games or whatever for Sunderland. And Everton buy him for £30 million. You know, I'd never even heard of them, the goalkeeper, before all that happened. And it's just silly money that's coming out. You're absolutely right.
But it's about the market, though, isn't it?
It's the market. But to be fair to them, you know, they're playing in the top league, one of the top leagues in the world, you know, in English football. They're playing against good opposition. Dembele's certainly not doing that in Scotland. But he proved last year 30-odd goals, you know, coming in for his first season. He's a nose for a goal. He's a youngster as well. He's plenty to learn. And there will be clubs that are in for him, but whether he would want to go to Marseille is another thing. I think if he does go, he may be looking for a bigger club than that.
Thank you to Alec for his call tonight. Celtic, of course, play Rosenborg in the first leg of their Champions League qualifier on Wednesday night. Rosenborg got past Dundalk in the last qualifying round. Now, their manager claims there's not much difference between Dundalk and Celtic.
Well, I think he's at the capers, to be perfectly honest. It was good because this morning, Stephen Kenny, the manager of Dundalk, I was reading what he had to say. I think very, very sensible indeed. He said Rosenborg are a good side. They're what, 17 or 18 games into their season, so they're all fit and ready and sharp and everything else. They play a rigid 4-3-3. They get people behind the ball. They'll hit you on the break. They've got some good players. There's not a standout player. You know, Bentner's there. He's been with a few clubs in England, but really, I think in the last three or four, five seasons, he's not done an awful lot. He'll be the big name in that in that side. But I think he's gone down, you know, as far as goal scoring is concerned. He says they're a good side as a unit. They defend very well. They play this rigid 4-3-3, and Celtic will have to play well to beat them. But Celtic are certainly capable of beating Rosenborg. So, you know, I thought it was a good article. He just didn't come out and say, well, Celtic will win this. He went, Rosenborg are a decent side.
And they are.
And Celtic are going to have to play well, you know, to beat them over two legs.
And the Rosenborg manager saying he's going to go straight to Ronnie Dyla to get all the inside information on
and
Celtic.
Ronnie Dyla
I'm
saying,
not sure
I'm
how
going
much.
Straight to Celtic and tell them about Rosenborg. So the man in the middle.
Exactly. I mean, well, how much do you think Ronnie Dyla would be able to tell them anyway? It's a much changed side from when he was there.
Oh, of course it is. And to be fair, I think Brendan Rodgers would have had them watched. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever.
Yeah, he had them watched before they
Yeah,
they
of
got
course.
Through,
he's
yeah.
watched them a couple of times. He knows every player that's there. He'll know exactly their strongest side and how they play and everything else. I mean, they are double winners for the second season. They won the Cup and the league in the last two seasons. But again, we're talking about the Norwegian league. You know, and I'm not down in that league, don't get me wrong whatsoever, but, you know, by far the best team in Norway. So there'll be no mugs. You know, these teams are all well drilled. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And they certainly won't give Celtic, you know, the space that they got against Linfield. They won't certainly sit back with 9-10 men back behind the ball and just lumping the ball forward to nobody. That's not how they play. On the break, they certainly throw men forward. So it should be a good tester. And I think the first game on Wednesday is very important for Celtic. You've got to think they've got to take some sort of lead there. Plus, don't give the Norwegians a goal. That's always the the big thing that people say, don't give them that away goal. So yeah, I think Celtic, if they play the way they have been playing, I think there's only going to be one winner. But you never know, stranger things have happened in the last few years.
This is the final week of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard 5 Grand Fan.
Time to get our second lot of contestants on the line for Clyde One Super Scoreboard's 5 Grand Fan quarter-finals. I've got Chris Logan in Wishaw and I've got Lewis Donnelly in Port Glasgow. Hello, guys.
Hiya.
How are you both?
Not bad, yourself.
Hi, great, thank you.
Don't say you're nervous. Don't say you're nervous.
No.
Just
only,
concentrate.
It's only DJ and I you're talking to.
Absolutely.
So it will be the same format as our previous quarter-final. I'm sure you heard it.
Yep.
It's the best of five. So, because you both had six, Chris, I'm going to toss a coin and you can go heads or tails.
I'll go tails.
Tails it is, so you can go first or second.
I'll probably regret it, but I'll go first.
You'll go first, okay. Chris is going first, so that means, Lewis, you're second.
Yep.
All right, guys?
Yep.
Good luck, period.
First question to Chris, first of all. Which team last won the Scottish Cup in 1957, but have been finalists three times, including 2015?
Falkirk.
Okay. Lewis, which team last won the Scottish Cup in 1990 and have been beaten finalists three times since, including 93 and 2000?
Dundee United.
Oh. Can't tell you, Chris. You're 1-0 up. It's Falkirk that last won the cup in 57, and it's Aberdeen who last won it in 1990. Second question, Chris, to you first of all. Which is the higher value snooker ball, brown or green?
Brown.
You're correct with brown. Lewis, which is the higher value ball, blue or green?
Blue.
You're correct as well. Question number three. Which club won the EPL more recently, Manchester United or City?
City.
Lewis, to you. You were right with City, Chris. Lewis, which club won the EPL most between Chelsea and Arsenal?
Arsenal.
You're wrong, it's Chelsea. So Chris is 3-1 up at the moment. So on to the fourth question. Which club did Kenny Miller play for between leaving Celtic and joining Rangers, Chris?
He went to... So he left Rangers, went...
Between leaving Celtic and joining Rangers.
He went to Derby.
You're correct, Chris. He did go to Derby. Which, Lewis, to you, which club did Kenny Miller make more appearances for, Hibs or Wolves?
Wolves.
You're correct with Wolves. Now I can tell you, Chris, you're on 4. Lewis, you're on 2. So that means, yep, Chris, you are the winner and you're through to the semi-finals because you can't be caught.
Well,
all
well
right.
Done, Chris. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
No problem.
Right,
Lewis, well done. Thanks for taking part. You did well to get to this stage.
All right. Cheers,
all right.
Guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks for that. Cheers.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Well, there we go. So that's so far we've got, who have we got through? We've got Stephen McKenzie, he's through, and we've got Chris Logan, he's through, both through to the semi-finals later in this week.
I would have probably got 4. Maybe that
you
one.
Got 4
yeah,
out of that
I probably,
one?
I probably would have, yeah.
Well, Motherwell manager Stephen Robinson says he loved seeing his whole team coming together to celebrate Louis Moult's goal against Morton after making 8 summer signings. 7 new players featured in Saturday's 4-0 Betfred Cup victory. And Robinson was delighted to see his side pressing for the entire game.
That 5% edge that comes with a competitive game, with a competitive crowd, you know, that's driving you on. You can't replicate that in pre-season. So I think you've seen Saturday, you know, we 4-0 up and you had 10 players celebrating the goal. And the togetherness in the squad and around the football club at the moment is really good. And it's going well. We're not getting carried away in any shape or form. We've signed a lot of new players. You know, and there's a lot of stuff still to be built on. We will get better and better. I just think, enjoy this now, but, you know, we're not kidding ourselves. I keep using the word togetherness. There's a real, real togetherness. You know, you can see by their work ethic, their celebrations. You know, when we train, we train really, really hard. You know, we have a hard working week. and we try and our motto is to try and be fitter and stronger than anybody in the league, and that comes free. That's the free stuff in football, and the players have bought into that at the moment. I think you can see that already.
You can sense the excitement in his voice when he's talking
about
this.
That's the first thing I was going to say, that he's very, very enthusiastic, yeah. Which is great. I love hearing that in a head coach or a manager, whatever you want to call him. But, you know, but Motherwell, disappointing last season, you have to say that. You know, it took them till almost the last couple of games of the season to decide whether they were going to be playing in the Premiership this season or not. So they don't want that. I think Louis Moult's such an important player, but... You know, Cadden as well. You know, there's a lot of good players that they have. I watched their game against Queen's Park the other week, and I know it was Queen's Park, but Motherwell played really well, scored some good goals. Bad defending, you have to say, by the Queens for that game. But they're scoring goals. I saw the highlights of the game against Morton, and they look good again. You know, so, yeah, it's good to get winning games. Good to get winning games, and as he says, the camaraderie with the new players coming in as well. You know, I believe that's what Rangers are going to be doing as well. I think they're going down Wednesday to Watford to play that game again behind closed doors, and they're staying down and they're going to Sheffield, and they're going to be training the rest of the week before they play Sheffield Wednesday on the Sunday. So all these players are going to get together as a unit, staying in a hotel, getting to know each other again. So that's the bonding that you have to do at times. When you've got a lot of players at a club, you need to get them away and get them talking to each other.
I did say 8 summer signings for Motherwell. They have made another signing today. Young striker George Newell has signed a contract until the end of the season. I want to go back onto the lines now, and Charlie in Airdrie has given us a call. Hello, Charlie.
How you doing? All right?
All right, yourself. Hi,
Charlie.
Derek, I was at a game Saturday, right?
Yes.
And I think it was a fair result, one each. I don't think they were boring too much in the first half, and then they started playing a wee bit. And the thing is, I was watching Alves, and he has a class act, you know, and passing the ball and all that.
Yeah.
Some passer there ball, you know?
Yeah.
As I say, I enjoyed the game, but I think it was a fair result. Because they came back out in the second half, I think. When they came back out in the second half, they upped the ante kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that they said, I'd like to try and win this game.
Can I say something to you, Charlie? Marseille's first shot on target was the goal. You know, the first shot on target, Marseille, was the goal. You know, they're a team that likes to keep possession, and they got forward. There are a few shots from outside the box that were way over the top or way wide. But it was there, as it happened when Alves went off, you know, about two seconds later, the ball came in and the goal was scored. But they looked solid at the back. I thought Tavernier played his best game, as I said earlier, defensively. You had a few crunching tackles in, which is something I didn't think he had in his locker. But I thought the midfield were solid as well. I thought they worked hard for each other in midfield. And there was a unit there. And I think having the two men up front, I think, will make a difference in the Premiership this season. I think if you're a Rangers fan of that game, you're have been happy in them. I take it you were happy watching the game, Charlie. The ball getting played forward a bit quicker as well.
It was a good game, as I say. I think it was a fair result. And then when we got that goal, that was some goal, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Another wee question, Derek. I've heard through the grapevine that Nesbitt's heading back to Rangers. Is that right?
Nesbitt?
Naismith.
Naismith.
Right.
Well, I would find that very strange, Charlie. I said last week, you know, he just went to Norwich. What was it, £9 million they paid for him? You think they're just going to let him go on a free? Now, we don't want you anymore. You can go to Rangers for nothing. I don't think that would happen. If you spent £9 million on a player a year ago, you're going to want £2, £3, £4 million back for him. And Rangers will not pay that sort of money for Stevie Naismith. So I think it's a non-starter for me, Charlie, that one. It doesn't make sense.
Thanks to Charlie for his call. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard's £5,000 fan. We'll hear from Neil Lennon after these.
Who is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard £5,000 fan? One supporter, £5,000 cash. From Clyde One.
You're listening to Clyde One Super Scoreboard's £5,000 fan with me, Alison Conroy, and Derek Johnson. We're here through until 7 o'clock tonight. Another quick one, Derek. Time's flying by.
I wonder what you're going to say.
He's not even listening there.
You know, plenty of stuff tonight. Quarterfinals were good.
Yeah. Another two tomorrow night as well. Yeah. Remember, a quick call. Mark in Partick. Hello, Mark.
Hi, how you doing? It's just to ask Derek a couple of questions. It's just obviously there's been strong rumours that
Rangers goalie was going to go to Nottingham Forest,
yeah.
And Tafinir was going to go. Obviously, they've put in a second bid for a third bid for Tafinir. But I think that game at the weekend kind of suited Tafinir,
yeah,
because it was a slower game, Derek. I mean, he's quite a good player when it's a slower game, but once it's a faster game, he kind of gets a bit lost. Know what I mean? And there's a guy from Nottingham Forest, a Greek striker that Warburton's trying to offload. He's 6'4". But I don't really know much about him. But Rangers, we really need a striker.
Yeah, very much so.
Do you know the guy? Guy, the Greek striker for Nottingham Forest. I can't pronounce his name.
He didn't play all that many games last season, to be honest. I think he was on the bench a lot.
Aye, because Jimmy Vance rid him. He's going to bring in a new striker, apparently, Nottingham Forest. And he wants rid of this Greek striker.
So I take it, Mark, you wouldn't mind seeing Foderamy and Tavernier maybe leaving the club?
No, I think Foderamy's obviously he's done well, but apparently they're linked with Alan McGregor and a Leeds goalkeeper or something.
Well, you know, I like Foderingham. I know there are a lot of Rangers fans out there that don't fancy him. I think he's pretty consistent. Yes, now and again, like every goalkeeper, he makes mistakes, but I think he's okay. I don't mind keeping Foderingham. Tavernier showed me another side of his play at the weekend. Just a few crunching tackles, and I'm saying, where did he get that from? I'm just wondering if it's sinking into him that maybe if Rangers are wanting to let him go, he doesn't want to go. He would rather stay and fight for his place. That's the way it looked to me on Saturday.
Derek, how much do you think we'd get for Tafinir? About 600,000. They paid 3 for him. Do you think we'd get about 6?
Well, I've no idea. I don't think the manager wants to sell him, because I don't think there's another right back there that Rangers have got. I think the two of them will stay. I don't think you'll sell either. But listen, you're right in a sense. You know, if the right money comes in and everything else, then everybody's for sale. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody's for sale if the price is right. But I thought Tavernier showed on Saturday that, yeah, not only can he get forward, but he can defend as well.
Thank you to Mark and Partick for his call. Now, we've had the first two quarter finals tonight, Derek, for Clyde One Super Scoreboard's £5,000 fan. Someone will be walking away with that £5,000 on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
But
If
you didn't end up in the top eight, or you didn't think you had good enough sporting knowledge to give us a call and try and get into that top eight, well, guess what?
Or if you're not quick enough to go and Google.
Well, guess what?
What?
We've found another £5,000.
No!
We have another £5,000 that we're giving away on Friday night as well.
It's
the Super Scoreboard £5,000 extra.
Extra.
Now,
right.
Listen.
I'm listening. I'm all ears.
Just text yes to 61025. That's yes to 61025, and you could be winning £5,000 on Friday night as well. Now, you can only enter and win if you live in Glasgow and the West. You need to have a G, an ML, an FK, a PA or a KA postcode. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate, and a winner will be selected at random after the lines close at 5:30 on Friday night. You have to be over 18 to enter. Terms and conditions and online entry at Clyde1.com. But how good would it be? Another £5,000 before the weekend.
Just picking up your phone, 61025, and say yes, and you can win £5,000.
And you live in Glasgow in the West.
For goodness sake. Is there anything better than that?
Well, there you go.
Wonderful.
That's all you have to do. So on Friday night, we'll actually be giving away £10,000.
Wonderful, well done.
Unbelievable. Well, let's hear from Neil Lennon, and he's urging Anthony Stokes to take up the deal at Hibs that they've got on the table and set about rediscovering his best form. The Easter Road boss says he's made the former Celtic striker a strong offer to return to the club after his contract at Blackburn Rovers was terminated, and Lennon's hopeful he can team up with them again.
Well, I'm bringing him in because I think he's a good player, and trying to bring him in. You know, he's proven at this level. He's won championships, he's won cups. You know, I think his best performances in his career have come when he's played in Scotland, whether it be here, Falkirk or Celtic. So it's an environment that he's very comfortable in, and, you know, he prospers in it. I can't comment on his personal issues. You know, we keep that private. I think that most of the majority of the issues are, you know, resolved and behind him now, so if you bring him in, it's important for Anthony to get playing football. You know, it's he's 28, 29 now, and I think he's got a bit to prove to people. You know, I believe he's got certain qualities that'll enhance us. So if we can get the deal done, great. If we can't get the deal done, then we move on. I think his best years came under me at Celtic, so I think that will work in my, certainly work in my favour.
Do you think it'd be a right fit for Anthony Stokes to go back to Hibs?
Well, why not? I think he knows Scottish football. He knows Hibs. He's been there before. I'm just surprised it didn't work out at Blackburn Rovers because I think he's a good player. He's one of these. He's one of these players. He's either on fire, or he's not playing well at all. There's no in between. I think for Anthony, if he's on fire, I mean, we watched him just a couple of seasons ago in the cup final.
Yeah.
You know, when he was outstanding, he gave Rangers a hard time of it. So the quality's there. I'm just surprised that it didn't work out for him at Blackburn. Maybe it doesn't suit him, English football.
He's had his off-field problems as well, which Neil alluded to.
But again, you know, when you're a manager, you bring the man in for his football side of it. He's 29. He's not an 18-year-old anymore. Mm. You know, and Neil's absolutely 100% correct. You know, his best stuff has been played in Scotland. He knows Hibs. The fans like him. And that would be a great signing for him if they got him.
Well, Lennon's also keeping a slot in his squad free for another of his former Celtic stars, Chris Commons. The 33-year-old who's currently recovering from back surgery says he will only take up the option if he can regain his strength required to make his mark at Hibs. But Lennon insists he's far from finished at the top level.
You know, Chris is a very proud individual. You know, I spoke to him at the end of the season before he had his surgery. You know, he knows that there's an interest from us and nothing more than that. He has to prove his fitness, you know, and he will make that decision. He'll know himself. It's a back operation that's going to keep him out for a couple of months. It's not career-threatening or career-ending. I still think he's got plenty of football in him. But it'll be Chris's decision, ultimately. I mean, he came here, he wasn't fit. He still scored 2 goals in 4 appearances or 5 appearances. And if he comes through the operation okay and gets himself up to full speed, that at the level we know he can be at, then he wouldn't just be an asset for me, he'd be an asset for any club, really.
Chris Commons, of course, went on emergency loan to Hibs earlier last season, scoring, as Neil Lennon said, those couple of goals, and he wasn't fully fit. We all know that.
No, because he wasn't playing, really. I mean, the biggest problem for him is he going to be 100%? Can he give his all after a back? You know, backs are terrible things to operate on. You never feel comfortable after you come out of that. It might take him a couple of months, you know, till it settles down and everything else, but he's no youngster anymore. And Chris is clever enough to say to himself, well, listen, if I can't get back to the fitness I was at, you know, there's no way I'm going to try it, because the last thing he needs is to go to the Hibs and the fitness is not there and he's lost a wee bit and everything else. He'll be embarrassed if that was the case. So he's not going to go to Hibs unless he's confident that his back's going to hold up and he can get back to the fitness that he had of a couple of seasons ago.
If you look at Hibs, if they get Anthony Stokes, he just rediscovers his form. Chris Commons goes and does refine that fitness.
Listen,
what a strong team they could have.
It's great experience. Yep. I mean, Hibs have got a great squad anyway, to be fair. You know, when you look at the bench, that's when you look and see if a team's stronger. Never mind the first 11. Look what they've got on the bench. And that's two men that Neil Lennon says, experienced men that have won trophies, know what it's like to win trophies. Great experience. Players can learn off of them. So that would be two crackers for Hibs.
When you look at Hibs at the moment, what do you expect from them in the new season? They played Ross County Friday night. I watched a bit of the game. They played well, missed quite a few chances, that ended up 0-0 and they lost on penalties.
I think they're certainly going to be top six, Hibs. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever. Maybe even more than that. I think they're good enough with the squad that they've got. They can afford to get suspensions and injuries because they've got players that come in and not weaken the side. Mm. And there's not many teams you can say that would do that. Yeah, I've got every confidence that Hibs can finish in the top six.
I have to say, another team that impressed me at the weekend, I watched Partick Thistle against St Mirren. Expected more from St Mirren, but Partick Thistle 5-0 winners in that Betfred Cup match.
Well, St Mirren were disappointing. I said that last week, Alison, when I watched them against Livingston. You know, Livingston scored, and then strong side, never gave much away, although St Mirren did create a few chances, but nobody to stick the ball in the net. But I thought Thistle played well. Yeah. St Mirren didn't play well, you have to say. I was disappointed with 5 or 6 other players there when I watched that game. But don't take anything away from Thistle. That was a good performance.
Yeah, with 5 key players out injured as well.
Yeah, I thought Thistle were outstanding. Some great goals, some good movement as well.
They've got something to build on next season.
Very much so. And when these players come back, it's going to be even better, because that's them got a really, really strong squad now, Thistle. And there's no reason why they can't kick on from last year and finish in that top six again.
This is the final week of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard 5 Grand Fan.
Well, that's about it for tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard £5,000 fan. Well done to Stephen McKenzie and Chris Logan. They're through to the semi-finals later this week to try and win that £5,000. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the day's sports news at clydeone.com/SSB and of course on Twitter at ClydeSSB. I'll be back tomorrow night with Roger Hanna for another two quarter finals on Clyde One Super Scoreboard's £5,000 fan. Remember, someone will be walking away with that £5,000 on Friday night.
Good luck to the other three quarter or the other two quarter finalists and everybody else for Friday.
Good night.